नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय तं त्वं वयं नाथ समुज्जिहानम् सरोजनाबाति चिरेप्सितार्थम् दृष्ट्वा गता निवृतम् अद्य सर्वे गजादवार्था इव गङ्गमम्बः Elephants afflicted by a forest fire become very happy when they get water from the Ganges. Similarly, O my Lord, from whose navel grows a lotus flower, since you have now appeared before us, we have become transcendentally happy. By seeing your Lordship, whom we have desired to see for a very long time, we have achieved our ultimate goal in life. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The devotees of the Lord are always very eager to see the Supreme Lord face to face, but they do not demand that the Lord come before them. For a pure devotee considers such a demand to be contrary to devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches this lesson in his Shikshastakam. Adarshanamaramhatam karotuva. The devotee is always eager to see the Lord face to face. But if he is broken-hearted because of he cannot see the Lord, even life after life, he will never command the Lord to appear. This is the sign of pure devotion. Therefore, in this verse, we find the word atichira ipsita artham, meaning that the devotee aspires for a long, long time to see the Lord. If the Lord, by his own pleasure, appears before the devotee feels extremely happy, as Dhruva Maharaj felt when he personally saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord, he had no desire to ask the Lord for any benediction. Indeed, simply by seeing the Lord, Dhruva Maharaj felt so satisfied that he did not want to ask the Lord for any benediction. Swamin kritartho smivaram nayache. A pure devotee, whether able or unable to see the Lord, always engages in the Lord's devotional service, always hoping that at some time the Lord may be pleased to appear before him so that he can see the Lord face to face. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 6, entitled The Demigods and Demons Declare a Truce. Text number 13. A brief introduction to this verse. We find the very essential, powerful lessons of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which lead us to pure, unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada would quote from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Srila Prabhupada brought that message to the world. that every single syllable of every word of the Srimad Bhagavatam is bringing us to unconditional ecstatic love for Krishna. Dharma parojita kaitavatra parama niramatsaranam sata. That is its purpose. Other Vedic literatures, scriptures, their ultimate goal is the same, prema bhakti. But it provides various other alternatives on the way to that ultimate goal. Srimad Bhagavatam focuses exclusively on that purpose. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called it Amala Puranam, the spotless Purana. The most famous orator of Srimad Bhagavatam in Navadvipa at the time was Devananda Pandit. The Lord Chaitanya heard that he was explaining the purpose of Bhagavatam in various other ways, and he was not happy. Ultimately, it came to the point where Devananda Pandit gave great pleasure and rendered humble service to a great devotee, Vakreshwar Pandit. And at that time only was his heart and his eyes opened to understand the real purpose and essence of the scripture. And he came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and asked, how would you like me to explain Srimad Bhagavatam? People from everywhere are coming to hear from me. Lord Chaitanya told him this, that every verse, every word is only meant to bring people to ahoitaki apratihata, to pure, unconditional, uninterrupted, loving service to Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam takes us from our conditioned state through various stories and teaches us how to attain this perfection and what happens when we attain that perfection. So here we find the devas, because everyone more or less wants to be a controller. This is the basic principle of material existence. We want to be the enjoyers, the proprietors, and the controllers. But it is an illusion. It's the source of suffering. Because Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwara. Because the actual truth is that Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the supreme enjoyer, proprietor, and controller. So the demigods, they are always in conflict. Well, not always, but from time to time, there's impending conflict with the asuras, who are trying to spoil their conceptions of happiness. The asuras want to take their property, want to take their prestige, want to enjoy it for themselves. And sometimes the asuras are more powerful, and sometimes the devas are more powerful. So here we find there's a battle. We may say the battle between good and evil. The battle between the good dog and the bad dog within our own hearts, the demigods and the demons. And in the middle of this battle, Durvas Muni, great, great devotee. He's an Amsa. He's an avatar of Lord Shiva, Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. He's coming to Indra's capital. And when we please great souls, Krishna's pleased. When we disturb great souls, then we disconnect ourselves from Krishna's grace. This is an eternal truth, that the grace of Krishna manifests through the hearts of the devotees. And there are many stories of life in this sense in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. Srivas Thakur, he represents the bhakta, the devotee, in the Panchatattva. And whether it be Gopal Chapala or various others, when someone disrespected or hurt Srivas, Srivas would forgive them. He would never take offense to anything or anyone. But the Supreme Lord would not tolerate it. In the sense of Gopal Chapala, he tried to ruin the reputation of Srivas Thakur in so many ways. He set up this type of Tamaguna Puja in front of his house and said, this is what he's doing. You see these kirtans at night, he doesn't let people in. The reason is he's having illicit sex with young virgins that he's kidnapping during the day. He's taking wine and all kinds of intoxications, and he's worshiping all sorts of motive ignorance things, and this is what he does. You see, it's exposed. Although this person put it all there. And Srivas came out. He was not disturbed at all. He said, yes, what he's saying is true. He forgave him. But Krishna did not forgive him. Gopal Chapala got leprosy. And then he got a little sober, and he met Lord Chaitanya after he was banished from the town. And he said, I'm very sorry, I'm very sorry. And Lord Chaitanya said, because of what you have done to Srivas, he has forgiven you, no problem. But because you have done, I give you this. You will have this leprosy for the next 10 million births. Hare Krishna. Good message. But then later on, when from his heart he really apologized to Srivas and he really understood, not only was he cured of leprosy, but he was given pure devotional service. So how we treat each other is very much how we treat the Lord. And this is a principle that is so much easily overlooked. Because we have so much pujas and mudras and yantras and tantras for the deities. And we're taught to bow down. But Kanishtha Adhikari Srila Prabhupada explains is one who worships the deity very carefully, but who does not show proper service and respect to the Lord's devotees. Who is not compassionate to the common people. So that is a tendency to take each other for granted. What is that story of Sripad Ramanujacharya? Where he was traveling from Srirangam to Tirupati on pilgrimage. And he had a small group of devotees with him. And he came to one town, there was a very rich man. He said, go there, and he sent some of his assistants, tell him that we're coming for prasad and we're going to spend the night. And he was so excited. The rich man started all getting all of his assistants and his servants and his maidservants and everybody else organizing for Lord Chaitanya's arrival. The assistant came back, Ramanuja asked, how did he treat you? He said he was so busy, you know, preparing for your arrival, he forgot about us. Did he give you water? Did he give you a sitting place? Did he give you sweet words? He said he was too busy trying to serve you. Ramanuja said, go to this poor man. And that's a long story, but we don't have time. It's an incredible story. But he went there, and the poor man was out begging, and his wife was there, and She just gave everything she had to these assistants. You are the assistants of my Gurudev. So Lord Chaitanya got the message, Ramanujacharya got the message and came and stayed there. He wanted to teach the world that if we take the devotees for granted, the Lord will not be pleased. So Durvasa Muni, he wants to bless Indra. So he gives him a garland. And Indra, he's sitting on his elephant, and he's the king of heaven. He has tremendous power, beauty, wealth, so much following. He took the mercy of a great soul for granted. He took that garland and put it on the trunk of his elephant. And the elephant, Srila Prabhupada explains in purport, elephants don't understand so much the value of Mahamahaprasad. So he just put the garland between his legs and crushed it. So Durvasa Muni was watching. So out of his mercy, he got angry with Indra. And because of that, Indra and the demigods lost the whole battle. They lost everything, all their wealth, all their prestige, all their power, everything. Which is a good thing, because previously they were all devotees of the Lord, but they were not helplessly crying out for the mercy of the Lord. Their devotion to the Lord was more or less a formality. It was something kind of intellectual, theoretical, and ritualistic. But when they were in this situation, they understood that they were helpless. And they approached Brahma. And Brahma took them to the ocean of milk. And to Lord Narayan, they are offering their prayers. Very sincere. And today we are reading one of those prayers. Yesterday, they prayed, or the day before yesterday here, the previous verse. As one can derive fire from wood, milk from the milk bag of the cow, food grains and water from the land, and prosperity in one's livelihood from industrial enterprises, so by the practice of bhakti yoga, even within this material world, one can achieve your favor or intelligently approach you. Those who are pious all affirm this. Srila Prabhupada explains so beautifully here that what we're really looking for, Krishna consciousness, is within us. It's inherent. It's our greatest potential. And bhakti is the way of invoking that to manifest. Just like fire is in wood. But if you're freezing and you just have a piece of wood, it's not going to help you much. If you're starving and you have some rice and you need to cook it, and you just put the wood there and say, it's within, it's within. It's not going to cook the rice. But if you bring that fire out through fire, then you can actually understand and realize the potential within the wood. And similarly, a cow. Srila Prabhupada explains so nicely that within a cow that has given a calf, there's milk. And if we protect the cow, if we love the cow, if we give the cow the respect and honor that Krishna would give the cow, he's Govinda, Gopal, he's Govardhan, then the cow gives us milk. It just doesn't come out. Now, from that perspective, Srila Prabhupada explains that when we actually give the cow the protection and the love of a mother, then that her motherly love is in the milk. If the cow, Srila Prabhupada explained when he was at New Vrindavan, that cows know when they're going to be slaughtered. They know that they're being exploited. Therefore, when you take the milk in that way, you get milk, but you don't get that motherly affection that nourishes the milk in another, in a very, very special way. Just like when we give food to someone because we have to. There's a different energy than if we offer it with love. When we offer something to Krishna, it's the love in which it's offered. That's what he tastes. We offer something with an envious heart, then Krishna tastes that. Srila Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna doesn't just accept everything that's offered. He accepts the purpose and the intent in which it's offered. He is bhava-grahi, janardana. He tastes our love. Well, Srila Prabhupada gave great emphasis on this, not only in our own lives, but teaching the world how to see the cow as our mother. And when we treat the cow as our mother in respect and honor, then when she gives that milk is so infused with that motherly divine affection. Because actually all the demigods are within the body of a cow. So we get all the blessings of all the demigods. And Krishna. So it's very special. But it takes our love and our protection to stimulate that love from her. And similarly, there's water underground. So if we're thirsty for water, it's easy to just say, the water is within. The water is underground. Theoretically, we have to know that, otherwise we're not going to know how to dig it. But then we have to dig it. And then we actually access it, then we benefit from it. So similarly, the soul, the Atma, is Satchit Ananda. It's eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. And the Vedic literatures, they give us this understanding. But the practice of bhakti, or devotional service, when we have that jnana, that information, that knowledge, then we know what to do. And when we actually practice devotional service, it is the way of accessing. Like accessing the fire and wood, the milk from a motherly cow, or the water from the earth to nourish us and sustain us forever. In today's verse, the devas, it's very interesting because the story before this, Shukadeva Goswami talks about Gajendra, the elephant. And he was also like a king. He was the king of the forest. If any of you have ever lived in a forest where there's wild elephants, you know how they're the kings of the forest. Even today, if you go to the Himalayas, between Rishikesh and Devprayag, how many of you have been there recently? There are so many big signs hanging from the trees on the roadside, and they're really exciting signs. They should have them here in America, in Los Angeles. They're signs with giant, they're photographs, not just paintings, photographs of giant elephants crushing people's cars. Really, because I don't know what photographer was there for those, but there's a lot of them. You see these big male elephants with tusks, and they just, the car is laying next to them, and their foot is crushing it. because it's a major cause of death. You know, we have our traffic jams here in Los Angeles. People sometimes die. Well, in the Himalayas, they have these elephants. They just come out of the forest, especially at night. Well, the roads are in the forest, so they don't have to come out. You're going there. And if they see a car, they just stand in front of the car. Look at you. What are you going to do? And there's nothing the car can do. If the car starts moving, the elephant just moves aside. And when the car is right next to his side, he just pushes it with his forehead. And the car falls over. And if, depending on what mood the elephant's in, he just crushes your car in different shapes. And if you can escape, you're lucky. But you can't escape a running elephant. I told you that story, right? I'm going to tell you a story, since we're talking about elephants in this verse. We have a couple farm communities in India. And one is it's Govardhan Eco Village. Another is Gokul Town, which is in Karnataka. And in the land beside ours, there's all these nice rice paddies. And every year or two, this huge male elephant comes out of the forest and just eats huge amounts of rice from this person's field. And after he eats massive amounts of rice, he lays down. And he doesn't lay down where he ate. He lays down in rice paddies where he hasn't eaten. And he totally crushes and destroys the crop when he lays on it. And he rolls around. And then he wakes up and eats more. And then lays down and rolls around. Then he wakes up and eats more. And in this way destroys the whole crop. Now one day a little boy, he was about 8 years old or 12 years old. He was walking and all of a sudden he came face to face with the elephant. And he screamed and ran away. The elephant chased after him and pierced him with his tusk and killed him. This happened right next door, just a couple years ago. But you see, in India, there's a law against hurting an elephant because they're an endangered species. So you can't do anything. If you do, you'll get put in jail. So our devotees heard about that. And one of our devotees happened to be, or two brahmacharis, happened to be walking on our land down some pathway. Suddenly, that same elephant saw them. And he was really, male elephants go through this particular stage where they actually become like insane, insanely violent, and they just kill anything. I remember one time I went to a zoo and they told me the most dangerous animal is the male elephants because you have to... What is that? Is that some indication for me that I'm over time or something? Oh, that's a cell phone. Okay. They're like male elephants sometimes. Can't stop them. So in the zoo, they said you have to be social with them, but when they go in this insane state where stuff, this liquid starts coming out of them, they kill their trainers. They're just crazy. So this elephant was in that state, and he was chasing these two brahmacharis. And they started running away. But you can't run away from a galloping elephant because they're huge. So he was running behind them and he was catching up really, really fast. He was right behind them and he was going to crush them. And they realized that they were helpless. And all I could do was pray. Pray to Krishna, save me. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Saravasya chaham hridishani vishto matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha. And he's the source of remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge. So as he was praying to Krishna, something came into his mind. Now this brahmachari is about 30 years old. When he was about 5 or 6 years old, he was from a village in India. And at that time, a sadhu came to his village. And his mother took him to the katha. And you know, children, they sit there. They like stories, but philosophy, they usually can't really hold on to very well. So this sadhu was telling a story. He was speaking from the Srimad Bhagavatam or something, or Ramayana or Mahabharata, and he told a story about elephants, how dangerous they are. And he said, if you want to escape from a charging male elephant, there's only one way. You have to find a hill and run downhill. Because the elephants are faster, but because they're so heavy. If they're going uphill, they'll catch you. If they're going flat, they'll catch you. But downhill, because of the weight of their body, they have to go really, really slow. Otherwise, they fall. And the lesson that this sadhu was teaching was that when there's a great danger in our life of obstacles, lust, envy, anger, arrogance, death. These things are very powerful. We cannot combat against them. But if we take a humble position, a low position, and cry out for God's grace, then we will be protected. So somehow or other, he didn't remember the philosophy part. He told me this later. But when he was running, he remembered when he was a little boy, he heard from the sadhu that if an elephant is attacking you, you should, because it was a pretty dramatic story. So he grabbed the other brahmachari and said, let's, because they happened to be running by a hill. And they just jumped down the hill and started rolling and rolling and running and rolling and running and rolling, and the elephant came after them, but he had to go really slow. So he escaped. So Gajendra was a great king, but when he was in the jaws of this crocodile, he realized that all of his power, all of his strength, all of his influence, nothing could save him. And then he totally humbled himself. Trinadapi Sunichina. He really felt himself lower than a blade of grass. And in that state, he offered beautiful prayers of surrender to Krishna. And Krishna came and delivered him. So Shukadeva Goswami just told this story, and Parikshit Maharaj is hearing it very nicely. And then he goes on to tell about the Raivata Manu dynasty. And he explains how the Lord appeared in that dynasty as a big tortoise to provide nectar, to facilitate nectar for the demigods to drink in the churning of the ocean of milk. And Parikshit Maharaj was really eager. He said, well, tell me about this churning of the ocean of milk and how God came out of the ocean and all of this. And Shukadeva Goswami was so happy. He was congratulating. He was praising Parikshit because he was so eager to hear. So in this particular verse we find, when elephants are afflicted by a forest fire, they become very happy when they get water from the Ganges. Because even the strongest elephant, when there's a forest fire, is helpless and has to take shelter of a higher power beyond himself. And similarly, by seeing your lordship, which we have desired for such a long time, we have achieved our ultimate goal in life. And Srila Prabhupada is explaining, Srila Prabhupada is taking the essence and the purpose of the Bhagavatam, where it's taking us to, and he's reminding us of that at every step. So here the demigods are saying, we are completely satisfied because we are seeing you face to face. And Srila Prabhupada is explaining what the Bhagavatam is bringing us to. That, of course, every devotee wants to see the Lord face to face. But a devotee is not conditional. Ultimately, true love is not to see our beloved. It's to serve our beloved. It's to please our beloved. Prabhupada would quote his Guru Maharaj, "Do not try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna in such a way that Krishna is happy to see you." And these are different levels of devotional service. When we come before Rukmini, Dwarkadish, Gorni Thai, Baladev, Subhadra, Jagannath, when we come to see them, that's a wonderful thing. But higher than that is when we come to be seen by them. When we come before them, they're pleased to see us. Which means the way we live 24 hours a day, you know, how we're chanting their names, how we're eager to hear them, our character, our humility, our service attitude. When we develop this throughout the day and throughout our lives and we come before Krishna, Krishna's very happy to see us. And he's within our hearts very happy to see us. Sansadhir Haritoshana. There's a beautiful story in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat where during Mahaprakash Leela, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving special darshan to each and every devotee according to their particular love for him. To Murari Gupta, he reveals the form of Ram. And he tells Murari, "You have forgotten. In your last life, you were Hanuman. Now I am reminding you, and I am Ram." And beside Lord Chaitanya was Sita and Lakshman. To Haridas Thakur, he revealed his beautiful form of Krishna. Kalavecha Sridhar, he revealed the darshan of Krishna and Balaram. And along with these darshans, he's giving any benediction they desire. In this way, he was giving the highest happiness to everyone. But he totally neglected Mukunda Dutt, who was the favorite kirtan singer among all the devotees in Navadweep. And he was crying, "The Lord doesn't like me, he's displeased with me." And Srivas and all the other devotees, they already got all their benedictions and their darshans, but they were not happy because their friend was not getting the same kind of mercy that they were getting. This is the way true devotees think. It's not about me, it's about us. They could have easily said, "Mukunda, it's too bad, you must have done aparad, but I got all my benedictions and I had my darshan." They were all crying, begging Lord Chaitanya, "Please bestow mercy on Mukunda. We cannot tolerate seeing his grief being forsaken by you. Will you not call him so that he can see you?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "Don't ever appeal to me on that wretched person Mukunda's behalf. He will not see me. I will not show myself to him." And Mukunda was listening. He was very much grief-stricken. Lord Chaitanya, he was teaching a good lesson. Mukunda was associating with people who were very blasphemous of the Lord. So the Lord wanted to teach the world a good lesson. He's not pleased when we relish such association. But he did it long ago. So Mukunda was crying, will I ever see the Lord? Will I ever see him? Will he ever show himself to me again? And Srivas said to Lord Chaitanya, Mukunda is asking this, will you ever show yourself to him? And Lord Chaitanya, with a very, very intense voice, said, he will only see me after 10 million births. How would you like a blessing like that? Mukunda liked it. He was ecstatic. The Lord promised only 10 million births, I will see. He started dancing. I will see, I will see, I will see. The Lord is so kind. He's going to let me see him after only 10 million births. And when Lord Chaitanya saw, he was so happy. Lord Chaitanya said, bring him now. And Srivas and the other devotees went to Mukunda Dutt and said, the Lord wants to see you now. But he was in such an ecstatic samadhi trance with the expectation of only 10 million births. He couldn't connect with anybody. He was just, I will see, 10 million births, I will see, I will see. He was smiling, he was crying in ecstasy, dancing. They said, no, he wants to see you now. I will see 10 million births. He wants to see you now. Finally, they picked him up. And they put him right in front of the Lord Chaitanya. And he was looking. And Lord Chaitanya was smiling. Because you had so much faith in my words. And you value my darshan so much that 10 million births was such a small thing. Therefore, I give myself to you completely now. And Mukunda, his prayers to Lord Chaitanya are especially relevant today to today's verse. He said, you are so merciful. One of the New Dwarka residences of the past, His Grace Kushakrata Prabhu, he translated in a very sweet way. He said, he translates Mukunda Dutt saying, that you have given me your darshan even though I have no devotion whatsoever. Therefore, I'm as useless as a pile of ashes. And he said, without devotion to please you, even if one sees you, one doesn't really find such happiness. And he gave many examples. He said, Hiranyakashipu saw you when you came as Narasingadev, but he wasn't happy. Upon seeing you, he wasn't happy at all. He was angry. Hiranyaksha had beautiful darshan of Varahadev, but he wasn't happy because he had no devotion. Kamsa saw Krishna. So many asuras came to Vrindavan and saw Krishna face to face, but because they were not pleasing Krishna. Because they didn't have... Devotion means samsidhir haridoshana. Patram pushpam palam to yam yomi bhakta prayachit. Whether we offer Krishna a leaf of flower, a little water, Krishna's pleased if it's offered with devotion. King Prataparudra, Ambarish Maharaj were kings who offered their kingdoms. Kolabecha Sridhar just offered some bananas. Vidura offered a banana peel. If it's offered with devotion, Krishna accepts it. And it's that devotion that Krishna reciprocates. So Mukunda Dutt is saying, so many people saw you, but they didn't find happiness, nor did they really make much progress because they didn't have devotion. But he was so humble. He said, But even though I have no devotion, still, I'm happy seeing you. This is your great mercy upon me. His humility. And Srila Prabhupada is quoting here Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Shikshastakam. That, my Lord, I'm your servant. I'm your servant, and I will give my heart, my life, my everything to please you. And you can treat me any way you like. I'm not a conditional servant. You can embrace me. You can make me broken hearted by not being present before me. You could trample on me. But I'm here to please you and serve you unconditionally. Natanamna chanamna sundarim kavitam bacha kadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatar bhaktira hoitiki. I do not want wealth. I do not want the pleasures of sexual interactions. I do not want fame, scholarship. I don't even want liberation from suffering. I only want to serve you. I want to please you, birth after birth after birth. Srila Prabhupada, what an example. He was living in Vrindavan, living at Seva Kunj, the place of the Rasa Leela. His next door neighbors were Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami. How would you like to live there? He was actually seeing them and feeling them and living with them. And he left, you know, Radharani and Krishna and gopis are right there. He's with them. And the greatest of the acharyas, the Goswamis, are there. And he leaves that neighborhood to come to the Bowery, and then to Culver City. So he's seeing Krishna, but he's coming 10,000 miles to a place. When he was on the Jaladuta, he wrote a prayer. It was after he had his heart attacks. And he's saying, I'm so far from Vrindavan and my beloved lords, Radha Damodar, Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan. But I'm happy because I'm serving the will of my Guru Maharaj so far from Vrindavan. Now when he gets to New York, when he's living in the Bowery, before there was 26 Second Avenue, before he had any followers, it was Gaur Purnima, 1966. And he writes in his diary, today, according to the Vaishnav calendar, is Gaur Purnima, the appearance day of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in Vrindavan and Navadvip, all of my God brothers, God sisters, they're having a wonderful festival. Darshan of the Lord, kirtan, association with so many devotees. He said, here I am all alone without any other devotee association. No temples, nothing. But he said, but I am happy because I am serving the will of my Guru Maharaj. So what is real happiness? For a devotee, real happiness is not in seeing Krishna. It's in pleasing Krishna through our service. That is the beautiful teaching of today's verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And no one can take service away from us in any situation, wherever we may be. We could always offer our devotion to Krishna by remembering him, by doing whatever we can. Raghupati Prabhu, for the last 40 years has been assisting Srila Prabhupada out in the streets of all these amazing places, sharing Srila Prabhupada and Krishna's grace through Prabhupada's books. And even though he may sometimes be in disguise, in a sense, and even though he may be in places where there's all sorts of materialistic activities going on, he's being seen by Krishna. He's being seen by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, and they are pleased with him. This is the great gift we've been given, devotional service. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.